Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
How can you say
it's the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. 727-579-1025. Or 800-771-1025. I want to take a second to... I'm actually texting with them right now. There's a company called Templar, and they redid my kitchen, and they were fantastic. They really were. There are two guys, Joey and Reagan, and you may have heard them because they're on Saturday mornings on time. There's some sort of home show or something on this station on the weekends, and they pop on with them every once in a while, but... They're two young guys who started their own company, and they do a great job. They really do. I mean, it's not just me. I know they do a couple Buccaneers players. I know they have a couple high-end houses that I've seen pictures of, and they've done a great job. They work with a lot of great vendors, and now that it's over, we're all super happy. Now we've developed a relationship where I just make fun of them, and they make fun of me on Facebook because they're like guys that you also want to hang out with as opposed to – like having like I there's no way that I would have gone on vacation and trusted many people to just come and go inside my house, but they were good. If you're looking to do anything construction wise, I would highly recommend the Templar boys, and then be prepared to make fun of them after it's over. Our phone numbers here are 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. By the way, I was just texting with them because they're coming over to look at the studio. See the possibility of possibly what they can add to knocking down this wall and redoing everything.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. I'm excited to have you further away from me as I sit here.
I know. I apologize. Yeah,
I feel like you're right supportive. Up on me.
It's because of the camera that he's got there.
I go to the bathroom. I go to make a number one during the break, check on my wife, come back in here. And these three are standing outside the studio in the hallway like three smokers who were taking a smoke break. And they're arguing over who farted in the hall. And
that's
I
right.
was like... This is my home.
Yeah.
This is not, you know. I told you that I think of, like Jeff Dye is, he's maybe, I don't know what his level of fame is to people, but I like Jeff Dye. But he was just on a TV show where he hosted with Henry Winkler and Terry Bradshaw and a bunch of other people. He's dating that Kristen Cavallari chick. And he has to come in my garage to do the show. And, you know, things like that. And then we're talking about some comedians who are coming to town. And Craig Robinson is coming. Now, Craig Robinson is one of those guys that I absolutely love. I think he's hilarious. He's been on the show before. And the idea that Craig Robinson's going to be sitting in my garage makes me laugh.
Awesome,
you know,
yeah.
it's just funny, things like that. I'd much rather have a new studio for him.
Jeff Dye didn't want to leave on Friday.
No, he did not. Like,
he tried to hang out at the house.
Yeah,
which I was fine with. We went inside. We were looking at my son's bedroom. We were hanging out in the kitchen.
What's this over here?
That's what my favorite. He goes, what room is this over here?
And what do you call this?
That is the living room.
No, what he was asking was... He goes into my living room. He goes, "What's this area called?" And what he meant was like, "What city are you living in?" And I went, "The living room." And he goes, "No, what city?" Yeah, Jeff was great. And you know what I love the most is that I love Jeff Dye, and I think he's very funny. He's a very funny comedian. I mean, you can go look at his Instagram and follow. He posts a lot of stand up on there, which I think was really smart. A lot of people copied him after that. He's really funny, but after the show, when I checked social media, and so many people were saying, "I'm going to the show to see him now because he was so funny on your show," I like him, so I know he's going to be good. I can't tell if it's really great or not until after the show is over. Then I talk to you people, and you people are so negative, so anytime you say something nice, I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
All right, I posted a couple of things on our Instagram, instagram.com/TheMikeCaltaShow. There was a poll about Spanish's lunch box that he uses every day that we put up very early this morning. Then I noticed Joe Papap is carrying a book of secrets.
Oh, yeah.
And then I took a picture of the you guys all fight over who the hardest worker is on the show.
That's right.
This one was texting and falling asleep. This one was just staring at a wall, and you weren't even here. Yeah. So all those pictures are up on the Instagram. Instagram.com/TheMikeCaltaShow. Now, Mo hit me up over the weekend, and Mo asked when I would be available for a screening of his movie that I'm in that I've never seen. And we decided on the 20th of March. And I believe Mo is joining us right now on the show. Mo, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend.
Mo is live from the Mo Studio right now, so he's loud and clear. Maybe if you could bring him up a little louder,
yep, got
Gavin. Mo, I did not know in your text that you said that we were doing the screening here at my house.
I heard. I was wondering what the confusion was.
Well, I don't read your wordy text. I just go, yeah, all right, screening that date. Let's do it right. I thought you got enough. I thought you secured a theater.
No, and what I wanted to do was I just wanted, you know, you to bring in the morning show and, you know, their significant others if they care.
Hey, I already saw it, man.
So did I.
You saw the wet version, Galvin. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Galvin. You saw a rough cut. You didn't see it tightened up, and there's been some changes in sequencing of scenes.
So this is the final edit. It's done. There's no more editing going to happen after this?
Not for this person.
No. I only want to see the final version.
Yeah, plus, that's in my experience, the wet version is the best version. So
it's like the Snyder Cut.
Mm. Now, wait. You said you're going to show it to us and our significant others. This means Joe's girlfriend's going to come back to my house.
I'm out.
What?
If they wanted to come, but yeah, it was just a small, intimate gathering at your home theater.
Sounds hot.
Okay, so you did this once before at a theater, right? You did the screening before at a Villaggio?
We had a sneak preview, and then we did two screenings at a festival at the AMC Theaters in St. Petersburg.
Now, what do they charge you at Villaggio to do a screening?
Oh, they took the drinks. We got the door. They got the drinks.
Well, I'm not serving drinks. How do I get paid for this?
You're
got to just pay you.
What if you guys all bring drinks?
Yeah, we could do that.
There you go.
We could charge a cover, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A ticket. I'll have a ticket booth.
Okay. Gio can bring his birthday booze. We could all dip into that.
My daughter will be selling tickets out front.
Okay. Yeah.
Like to go. All right. So, I mean, look, can I be honest with you? I do want to see the final cut or close to final cut. I've not seen any of the movie other than the scene that I'm in. And I am kind of curious. But what is the – now there's big news attached to this?
There's a major change in the structure of the film, I don't know that I'm at liberty to say just yet. But this is what
it's your movie.
Oh my God!
It's your movie.
Who else would you have to ask?
Yeah. Well, he
wouldn't even tell me via text when I was trying to get it out of him.
That's because he cut your part out.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I'm fine with that.
You were good in the movie. Yeah. I don't think you should get cut off.
How do you know? You never saw it.
I saw the trailer. I thought Gio was great, and I thought Kevin was great.
I'm going on record, and I said it before, I think Gio is the best person in the movie.
Thank you.
Gio actually acts very well.
With anybody that's seen the film, the most praise goes to Gio.
Wow.
I don't know why. Look at the camera.
Now, it should be said, though, Gio's role, he is the eyes of the audience. If you're going to put yourself in the film, you would be Gio. So that's why he grounds the picture.
By the way, I want to point out, was that Spanish that said he didn't even look at the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to look at the camera in a goddamn movie.
It's a joke.
What are you,
Galvin?
Chris Rock?
Relax.
Spanish was the worst. That's why he's mad.
Was Spanish the worst?
Oh, terrible. No, actually, Spanish is very small role.
He's funny. It's a smaller part than Gio's, but Spanish is perfect in the role. He's absolutely perfect.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Mo made me do a Christopher Walken impression. The old
Galvin at the end is hilarious.
Terrible.
It's an absolutely hilarious scene.
Now, did anybody watch this movie at any point and go, the guy at the end, what's up with his eyebrows?
No. No.
All right, because that's what I was thinking.
I did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
You're fine. You're fine, and it's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. It's brief. It's about a 5-minute scene that you're
it's
in.
Kevin,
but
Kevin's
it's one of the
great.
Funniest
in that. Kevin's
absolutely.
Great.
So what's the announcement? You're trying. You're deflecting.
I'm not deflecting. I'm asking. Answering.
Well,
questions.
Explain to me what you who. If you're not at Liberty, then who is? Who has the liberties?
I mean, it's my film ultimately, but I do have representation out in L.A. Individual that is trying
what?
To sell the film.
Yeah, yes. Wasn't this the guy that was trying to change the name to like COVID theme or something?
Yeah.
I told you that guy was a horrible idea.
This movie's actually called Vaccine Dreams. No?
Yeah.
All right, so the movie is. It's being shopped around by a guy. So does this mean if it gets a deal, we all get paid?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
None of us believe that.
Nope.
We believe Mo's going to be like, I'm putting a new swimming pool in.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, one of the best things about COVID was we didn't have to talk about Mo's movie anymore. Why is this still happening? I don't understand.
Yeah, but you realize you're in the film.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ, they made Star Wars in less time.
So, what? Give us a little bit of the. Say, hey, you don't have to ruin the announcement, but just say what is concerning.
Okay. This is what I'll give you what's going on.
This is horrible.
Here we go. I'm in mode. Don't listen.
Okay.
To that.
When you view the film on March 20th at 7 p.m. at Turf
Place, 3D.
Oh,
it's not in 3D. That will be the last time anybody's able to see.
Thank God.
Ever again.
Ever?
All right. You guys want me to finish it?
I'm listening to you.
Okay. Okay. There's an issue that we're running into. And there's a couple of issues.
A lot of racism.
Well, you know, that's the primary issue. But let me give you the smaller. The smaller issue is we shot it at the radio station. Now, it's unavoidable in certain scenes, especially the lobby scene, Gio, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
You son of a bitch! I told you this when we were shooting, and you told me, "No, man." I go, "Listen, dude, you got to cut this stuff out."
Can I finish? Oh.
Total
fail.
I told you.
There are logos and branding every friggin' where.
I told you this at the time, you jerk off.
Where's your continuity person?
No, it's not about continuity. This is what I told you, Gio, when we were shooting this. I said, we'll take care of it in post.
Yeah.
And you
have the ability to do that?
I have the ability. I don't have the money.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Who are you worried about? Did somebody already give you a warning, or are you getting a heads up from somebody?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's common knowledge in the film industry that if you show somebody's logo, that there may be a problem. Now, after certain things, we all received something that we had to sign vis-a-vis work that said,
Let me throw this out real quick.
Go ahead.
If you, a black filmmaker, a black independent filmmaker, employee of Cox Media Group, writes a letter to Cox Media, sends him a screener, and says, I am a filmmaker. I at the advice of Kevin Smith, I filmed a film in my environment and what I knew what the best, and that was the Cox radio station. I would like to go ahead and release this. I would like your permission after you review the movie. What reason would they have to say no?
Because the movie's awful.
Yes.
All right, you guys want me to finish it?
Yeah. I'm listening.
Thank you, Mike.
Man. By the way, you should have wrote that letter last month, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Carmen's not.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
You missed it by 2 days.
Yes, I did. Mm. Carmen's not altogether wrong. It's not that the movie's horrible. It's the content of the movie. Geez. They watch
dead
this
in the water
movie,
is what we are.
And they're going to go, it's funny you say dead in the water because I'm going to tell you what I have to do. Remember that. So that's one of the issues. The primary issue is what Carmen kind of alluded to. My guy out in L.A., Jason Price, I can give you the name, it doesn't matter, has screened it.
Jason Price for
a couple of different distribution companies. They love it. And when I say that, I'm telling you, because right now, to do what I have to do, I'm going through the film to pull out pieces. It's an absolutely hilarious film. But what happened was the culture changed. We started this film, Mike, 3 years ago. We shot it over a series of Saturdays. It took 2 years to shoot, and then it took another year to do post-production. In those 3 years, and this is not just an issue that I'm having, it's an issue that's going around Hollywood right now. In those 3 years, the culture changed. It shifted dramatically, and cancel culture became a thing, and it's just like stand-up.
What are you worried? I didn't see the movie. What is in it that could possibly get you canceled?
Well, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Don't even let this thing out.
You're the most prominent person.
It could be deemed racist, sexist, misogynistic.
We're screwed.
It
could be.
Every movie can.
So screwed.
Every movie can.
And you wrote it, so doesn't that kind of take away some of that?
Well, Carmen, you would think that. And then in the
Quentin Tarantino's the most racist guy that makes the most racist movies ever, and he's white.
I know, but he's Quentin.
He's also good.
Quentin Tarantino.
There's that little chestnut.
Listen, so you're saying there's a chance that this movie may never see the light of day?
Wow.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
This is the announcement because I've been overwhelmed and overburdened with the thought that I've spent 3 years on something, and I'm like, I'm going to have to shelve this movie.
Tell me what it is.
What I realized I could do is I could reimagine or reframe the film. So now, you said, Gio, that it was dead in the water. The movie is going to be retitled. It was WDED Dead in the Morning. Now it's going to be retitled WDE Documentary Dead in the Making, or How Cancel Culture Killed My Film. I am refashioning it as a documentary, which allows me.
Hold on now.
It allows me to put in every scene that is raw, unapologetic.
Oh my gosh.
And use all of those
We're
scenes.
Screwed. But I, We're so but screwed. I'm, it,
How I've many N-words did Gio say?
Oh, man.
I like to point out that I'm the first one that was like, I'm not saying the N-word. I'm not saying any of that stuff. 3 years ago, I read that script. I was like, I'm not saying this stuff.
What I think is happening is Mo's going down, and he's trying to take us all down with 100%. Him. He's wrapped us in, and he's taking us all down.
Dear Cox Media Group, I take back what I was saying earlier.
do you want me to finish?
No, I don't want you to finish.
We are finished.
As a documentary, I am going to intersperse interview scenes with be talking about how when we shot this was this, blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
but now now what we've got is a brand. Now I don't have a three-year-old movie that I'm trying to release. I have a brand new product that we can get out on the festival circuit. Documentaries are white hot. They kind of always have been, but never more than now, partly due to the pandemic. And it gives you what I'm able to do now is use every good scene in the film and extract all of the logos and all of the sound issue scenes that we had that will require work.
How much would it cost just to blur out the logos or change the logos?
Hopefully the documentary will force the release of the film. I still have a full cut of the film.
The only thing that could come out of this is if the woman from The Walking Dead decides she wants to make a movie about a guy making a movie that turned it into a documentary.
Yeah.
Kind of like James Franco did about that one guy who made the terrible movie.
This is where I'm going with it. Yeah. Absolutely.
What did that call?
But your movie never was released.
Yeah. This is The Room Part 2, starring Michonne as Maurice Chauvin.
I got to tell you, I'm almost afraid he's going to show us the movie at your place and just film us watching it, and then that's going to be when he releases it.
Yeah, and that's in the
documentary. I made him watch it.
No. Most of the film will be shown in the documentary. It allows people to laugh without reprisal, because now I'm making a statement. It'll be the first film out that will address how the shift in culture change the making of movies, which is a huge thing right now.
I only like to laugh with reprisal.
Well, again, I will have the original. I still have the original version.
This is the new soundtrack to the movie. You ready? Wah, wah.
Trust me on this. It gave life to a project that I was just afraid I was not going to be able to release.
Mo, I'm going to be the first one to tell you I'm so sorry you spent all this time and money on a movie that will probably never go anywhere. I'm so sorry this happened.
Well, it's screening at Michael's house, though.
Yeah, it's going there.
We'll be fine. This is the best thing for it. Again, it's still the movie. It's just reframed. It's framed differently.
Okay,
that's
sure.
All. It's still the movie. All of your scenes. Spanish, you may have the only role that doesn't have any scenes cut from it.
Okay, all right. That says a lot.
Oh, man.
Good for you. Yeah.
What a trust.
I'll be honest with you, Mo. I'm going to be real honest.
Oh, boy.
I don't care as much now as I did before.
Oof.
That's a good thing, right?
Did anybody think that was possible?
Not really. Whatever happens, I don't. I mean, look, I do genuinely wish you the best, but I also don't care. So
that's good, though. That's good.
Yeah.
Let me crack that code. Good luck on your future endeavors.
That's all I'm hearing out of all of this.
That's good. Just trust me on this, guys. Trust me.
I will take this opportunity.
Remember this. I do have an award-winning short film on Amazon Prime. That's Kid knows true. What he's doing.
What award?
Couple film
tiger.
Awards.
I believe you. I just was curious. Yeah. Plug it. Give out the name so people can go watch it.
It's called The Purgatorist. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a 10-minute short film.
I can't get myself to sit down for 10 minutes.
Joe saw it. Joe, tell me what you God. Think of The Purgatorist.
Can you give me 10 minutes, please?
Can you tell me, did you see Nomadland?
I have not seen Nomadland, but I'm in complete agreement with Galvin on The Florida Project was horrible.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
I hate that he agrees with me, but...
Hold on, Galvin. I also agree with you that the first Jack Reacher film was great. The second one, I agree 100% with that as well.
You and Mo are the same.
Yep. I might as well make a terrible movie that nobody sees.
What did you think about The Florida Project that wasn't good?
I just thought it meandered. I stuck with it.
It definitely meandered. It definitely meandered, but I think it captured what it was really like to live and grow up in those apartments and to be... What?
In a dirty parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, but that was... I thought that was it. I thought the whole point of the movie was... real quick, for those of you who don't know, if you look out... If you drive down in Orlando and you go to Disney World and the surrounding areas of Kissimmee and Orlando, there were all these motels that were built in... two-story motels that were built in the 70s and 60s that, were replaced over time by these giant conglomerate hotels that moved in there. And all these hotels still exist, and you wonder who's staying in them. And it turns out people were living in them. People who couldn't afford to get homes, they would just get weekly rentals, and they would live there. So this is a story about a single mother who is raising her kids in the thing, and she does drugs, and it's like a sad movie, but it's about the life of the kids and what they had to live like. I mean, it is boring and meandering at times because that's what their lives were. They really had nothing going on. I mean, every day they were, I don't know, at the end of that movie, it made me feel god awful, and I think that's sometimes what movies do.
But that's what I don't want in a movie is boring in real life. Like, you could just watch Dirty Kids in a parking lot if you want to. You know what I mean? Like, why am I watching this in a goddamn movie?
I didn't think it was boring.
If you shoot a film about people that have nothing going on, what you end up with is a movie where nothing happens.
Yes.
Because the characters have nothing going on.
But it's a different type of movie. If you're shooting a movie where you want to tell a story about these characters, that's different. Or if you want to know what it's really like to be homeless and you create a character named Homeless Sally and you follow Homeless Sally all around all day, but you want to really let you know what it's like to be homeless, not this, Homeless Sally all of a sudden stopped a robbery and she found the lotto ticket and all that. Like, now you're just making stuff up. But if you really want to know the real feelings of what it's like to have lived on the street and be that person, you have to make it as real as possible. Those are different types of movies. That wasn't a Hollywood feature. That was, like, Galvin, remember when you told Matt Damon that movie with him and Casey Affleck was like watching Vacation Photos?
Yeah.
And he said that wasn't meant to be a big feature film. That was an art house film where you were just supposed to,
but,
you know, there's different types of films.
I think your goal in any movie is to entertain people.
But not everybody agrees that. Sometimes it's just to evoke feelings. And those feelings sometimes aren't good ones. So you like when I saw A Star Is Born, that was a great movie, but I felt very upset that that guy died. And I was like, and the movie was great, but part of it I was like, oh, I couldn't even think about it because what a depressing ending to that movie. You know what I mean? But that was a big feature that entertained and it gave you those feelings. In some of these cases, they're just there to make you feel a certain way.
And I agree with you, Mike, but that's where you frame a movie as a documentary. That would have been
a documentary is a real life story. A documentary, you get non-actors. And you follow around real people, and that's a different situation. This
pretty
one,
pretty sure that's what
film.
They did, though. A lot of that was no. I'm not even making a joke. Like those kids weren't actors, and I think they just let them run around and they filmed them and put it into the movie.
Yeah,
and
they did use first-time actors.
You can capture magic like that. Listen, I understand why, and I believe it won multiple awards. It certainly had a lot of critical praise. I get it because there was a certain authenticity to it. There was a certain naturalism to it. I just kind of, it was like, I'll give you a bigger budget example. It was like DiCaprio's The Revenant, which I called Snow is Cold. That movie bored me to
tears.
Too.
I watched the bear scene, and then I was like, I'm done.
That was a great film about a man versus his environment.
And here's the other thing is, you know, using the kids and, you know, not spending a lot on budget and stuff. I think David Spade said it the best when he was talking about, what is that movie, The Witch, the Blair Witch Project. He goes, everyone telling me, it only cost him $100,000 to make. And he goes, great, but I shouldn't have to pay $10 to see it then. Yeah. I should only have to pay a nickel. He goes, it's terrible.
Yeah, the Blair Witch would never survive now, but the Blair Witch came out, and it was the first video. I mean, it was the first movie.
It was a great idea. It was
first found footage. Yeah, first found footage.
Yeah, it was
really
the first movie to be preceded by a viral campaign.
Right. It was a great idea. Yeah. The movie itself was bleh.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And I'm kind of with you on that. I did think, though, and this is what the Florida Project lacked. They did give you a scare at the end. They did give you something to walk away with, and I thought that was basically what redeemed the Blair Witch Project.
I have to tell you, I don't often praise Bubba for anything he's done, but when I worked with him one time, we went to go see the Blair Witch Project on the weekend, and we all came back on Monday, and they were like, that was an awful waste of time. We were dizzy. We were nauseous. And I said, I have the director's phone number right here. He lives in Orlando. And they go, give it to me. And he called the guy live on the air, woke him up, and he goes, I'm calling about your movie, The Blair Witch. We're live on the air. And the guy goes, oh, okay. And he's like, what'd you think of it? And he goes, it was awful. goes, what do you mean? He goes, terrible. And he just ripped into the movie, and the guy was like, well, and he goes, nah. And he hung up on him. I can, no matter how much I can't stand him, I can never take away that. That was wonderful. Nah. I'm sorry, movie. It was awful. Anyway, okay, so, Mo, why bother? Let's just scrap this. I'm going to hold on for the documentary, I think.
Well, now, okay, if you want to hold on for the documentary, that is fine. But I would still love to show, because on the DVD release, the documentary will contain the entire film.
The DVD? What year is it? Who's buying DVDs?
Oh, India? In India? So you know where they buy them, in that bin in the truck stops?
The DVD release.
Will you relax? It'll be, everything is going to be fun. Trust me.
Now, will all this be in the newsletter that you're sending out?
No, I will not be sending out a newsletter.
You didn't mention this in your video for the corporation.
Is this on the message boards?
Not at all. But it corrects a lot of issues that we were just going to have with release, and now I'm able to release it as I wanted it to be. So we're good. We're good. Trust me.
All right. Yeah. Well, Natalie just sent me a Snapchat. Said Florida Project is a great movie. Thank you, Natalie.
Natalie's an idiot.
Oh, wow. Did she even say that? Galvin doesn't know what he's talking about, and I left that part out?
Yeah, big deal.
And you were still mean to her.
Yep. Yeah. You're the fat girl from Facts of Life, Natalie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, burn. That's you. Eat it.
Why?
By the way, you're not going to believe this.
Are we done?
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, I enjoyed work with you guys. It's been fun.
Yeah, we're about to get canceled hard.
I got you guys. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you, Mo. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I want to tell you about my friend Jeff Borum and the folks at TeamBorum.com. If you need to sell your home, and it's not moving, you need to call Team Borum, because these guys know how to get your home in front of the most eyes, man. They know how to make the most people see it. They know how to make it move. And most of all, they make it go for the most amount of money. And if you're looking to sell your home, Jeff is the guy to do it for you. You have options. You can buy it, you can rent it, you can sell it, and Jeff will tell you what those options are. If you look at the national average, Jeff has sold more than 100 homes above the national average last year. Him and his team will move your property and give it. I'll tell you, I've been looking at some of the, I'm trying to find a beach house. I've been looking at some of the virtual tours. It's amazing. I mean, you literally feel like you're in the room. I wonder if they have the Oculus where you could put it on and walk through the house.
Oh, right? They should.
TeamBorum.com. Jeff and his team will help you out. Let me give you their phone number. It is 866-308-7109. But your best bet's to go there. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or rent, you can take a look at TeamBorum.com. That's B-O-R-H-A-M. You know, I always recommend somebody, a good friend in the business when I have one, and Jeff has become that guy. Hit him up today. Whether you're buying, selling, renting, they could do it all for you. What's wrong?
Your brother just texted me and said, hey, can you ask Mo if he'll have a Betamax release for us?
DVD.
Tomorrow is Tuesday. Dom will join us on the program. And that's it. Have a great day. We will see you guys tomorrow. I can't believe the show's over already. Mo makes time fly. Goodbye, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.